Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Mem Zayin. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonesh Zechanish Masliba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are today starting on the very top of Mem Vav Amud Beis with the words Itamar. We started a new Mishnah yesterday on daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah described a scenario in which he handed dates to a woman and you want to be Mekadosh her with dates. The Mishnah proposed three scenarios. The first scenario of the Mishnah, whereas you say to a woman, Hiskashli b'tamarzu, and you repeat Hiskashli b'tamarzu with each date that you give her, you repeat the word Hiskachi. And by repeating the word Hiskachi, every act becomes a new act of Kiddushin. It's the same woman, you're not marrying her multiple times, but every act is an independent act, and therefore, the Mishnah says, you have to assess every single date. If any date that you gave her is Shavapruta, so then the marriage is good, but if any date that you gave her is not a Shavapruta, the marriage is not going to be valid. And you do not take the aggregate total because you keep repeating the word Hiskachi Li. The second case in the Mishnah is where you do not repeat the words Hiskachi Li, but you say Bizu, Uvizu, Uvizu. You say, I want to marry you with this date and this and this and this. So then, what the Mishnah says, you could take the total value of all the dates. And if the total value is a Shavapruta, so then the Kedushin is good. And then the Mishnah provided a third scenario, and there's an ambiguity in terms of whether the third scenario was going on the first or the second case. The third scenario in the Mishnah is he handed her a date, and every time he handed her a date, she ate it. And so the Mishnah says that if one of them had a Shavapruta, so then they will be valid. And if one of them did not have a Shavapruta, then it would not be valid. So you recall yesterday we had a Machlokas Amarayim, that third case, whether it was going on the first scenario or on the second scenario. So that was a Machlokas amongst the Amarayim. Rav and Shmuel, we're going to need this information later on this morning as well. So in general, it's good to review. And on top of that, we're just going to need this information later this morning. So the Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that that last case of her eating each date as she's being given it to her, so that's going on the first scenario in the Mishnah. In the first scenario of the Mishnah, where he says Hiskachuli, Hiskachuli. Now, what we asked the question yesterday, if it's going on the first case in the Mishnah, it's obvious, meaning if each date doesn't have a Shavapruta, how is her eating it going to help? Meaning, why would I have thought otherwise? So what the Gemara explained yesterday is, I'll tell you why I would have thought otherwise. Because not only is she's eating and she's enjoying it. She's loving it. So even though the date themselves is not a Shavapruta, but I might have thought the Havamina would be that since her enjoyment really, it's not just that she was given something of value, even though it's less than a Shavapruta, but she's enjoying that item. So I might have thought that she would give herself over for that hana, for that benefit that she received, even though it was less than a Shavapruta. That's the Havamina, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us.
Does she have to tell her with this hana? In other words, don't you have to say it first?
No. Well, later we're going to be discussing actual hana, meaning later we'll talk about that. No, he's actually being mekadosh with the date. But I might have thought that we're going to supplement the hana together with the date. That's the havamina. And the Gemara says no. And the second opinion in the Gemara was that no. Really, this is Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said no. Really, that last case in the Mishnah is going on the Seifa. And if it's going on the Seifa, what's it coming to teach us? The following scenario. Remember, the last case in the Mishnah is where he says, Bazu, Uvazu, Uvazu. But every time he handed it to her, she eats it. Now, this brought us to three interesting points that we discussed yesterday. Number one, the Gemara says, well, before we get to those three points, so every time she's eating a date, if the date is less than a Shavapruta, that's not going to work. And then she eats another date, and it's less than a Shavapruta, it's not going to work. So when the Mishnah says one of them has to have a Shavapruta, which one of them are we talking about? It has to be the last one. Has to be the last one. Because the other ones have already been consumed. Now that we said that, there are three interesting points that we mentioned. Number one, what about the fact that she owes those first dates that she ate because they didn't have a Shavapruta and she kept eating one after another? So does she have to, can she be Mekudeshes ones with the ones she already ate? So to that we said no. Why not? Because that is considered a milva, that she owes the money back to him, and you cannot be Mekadosh with a milva, a topic which we're going to be discussing in more detail today. Two is that there is a milva and there's a pruta, meaning the money that was the money that she owes for the first date that she ate, that's a milva, plus the last date that was given to her, which was a Shavapruta, so that's a that's a pruta. That's an actual item of value that she's holding in her hand. So now there are really two things here. There's a milva and there's a pruta. Which one does she focus on? So she focuses on a pruta. And the third point, which is going to segue into the next sugya of the Gemara, is going to be the following. When he handed her the first date, second date, all the dates except for the last one. So he gave it to her in the context of marriage. Now, it didn't work because those weren't the Shava Pruta. Now, obviously, the aggregate total of them all is going to be that she's going to have to owe him back money. When you give a woman money in the context of Kiddushin, and it doesn't work as Kiddushin, is it supposed to go back to the original owner? And the Gemara said yesterday that's the third interesting point. And the answer to that is yes, it has to go back. Which now brings us now to the next topic of the Gemara, Itmar. We're on Memvav Amud Beis. And let's continue. Hamikasha Chosa. A person goes over to a sister and says, I want to be Mikadosh you. Now we know that a sister is one of the Arayos in the Torah. And when you give money to your sister as Kesef Kedushin, of course it's Eino Mikudeshes. Now we'll make the basic distinction that we make throughout Shas, and we're going to be discussing it later in the Masechta in more detail. And that is that if it's an Issa Erva, so if it's one of the Arayos, so then Kedushin is not going to be Tofaced. It's just simply, there's no effectiveness to the Kedushin whatsoever. If it's a Lav, if it's just a negative prohibition, so even though you violate a law in the Torah, the Kedushin is going to be Chal. Okay, that's the basic delineation. The example given over here is your sister, obviously. Your sister is one of the Arayos, and so therefore the Kedushin is not going to be Tofes. So essentially what you did is, you gave your sister money under the illusion of Kedushin. Rav Amar Mos, Chosen Ushumal Amar Mos Matano. How do we view this money? Because the Kedushin wasn't a Kedushin. So how do we view the money? So Rav is of the opinion that the money goes back to the brother because it wasn't a marriage. And Shmuel says, no, it was intended as a gift. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Amar Maos Chosem Adam Yodei Shein Kedushin Tofsim Ba'Choso. Rav's of the opinion that, look, everyone knows. Everybody knows that Kedushin is not going to be Tofes. V'gamar V'nasal Shum Pikadon. And what you did is you gave it as a Pikadon. So, in other words, you basically just wanted her to watch it. That's all. So, V'lei Malei L'Shum Pikadon. So, if that's what you wanted, so why didn't you articulate that? So, Savala Mekabla. So, because if I asked her, do me a favor, here's a wad of money, here's a lot of money. Could you just watch it for me? So, your sister's going to not be so agreeable. So, if you give it to her under the context of Kedushin, even though everybody knows that there really is no such thing as Kedushin, it's kind of like a ploy, some sort of cute way for her to take the money and hold the money. Okay. Shmuel Savar Maos Matana Adam Edei Shein Kedushin Tofsin Ba'Chosa. Now, Shmuel's of the opinion that, look, same starting point. We know, everybody knows that Kedushin is not going to be Tofes. It's your sister. She's in Erva. Everybody knows that. V'gamav Nassal Shem Matana. And really, according to Shmuel, what you're really just trying to do is, your sister needs a gift, or you want to give her a gift, whichever way that works, and you're just giving it to her as a gift. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so just simply say, hi, here's a gift. So Savik Sifala Milsa. So Shmuel's of the opinion that, look, she's not that interested to take a gift from you. So if you put it under the guise of Kedushin, even though the brother and the sister know it's not Kedushin, but once you do that, it'll soften the whole moment. She'll understand. She'll like half smile. She'll understand it's not Kedushin. Oh, he just wants to give me a gift. Fine. Okay. Fine. I'll take it. All right. Mesev Ravina. So what do we have right now? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. When you give money to your sister, and it could be any erva. So when you give your money to your sister and you put it under the guise of Kedushin. So how's that money? How do we look at that money? Was it a pikadon or was it a matana? Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara now challenges Amafresh Chalaso Kemach Eino Chala. So here we are going to be learning together a Mishnah in Chala, and the Mishnah goes like this. Now the mitzvah of Chala we're all familiar. You introduce water and flour together, you make a dough, and now once you have dough, now you have a mitzvah of Chala, where you take off a portion of the dough. If you're not a baker, if you're just a simple balabais, so you have to take off approximately 4%, 1/24. If you are a baker, and it's going to obviously cut into your profit, so the Chachamim allow you to take off only about approximately 2%, a 48th, and you give that to the Kohen. Nowadays, obviously, we don't give it to the Kohen. There are a number of issues why we don't give it to Kohanim, but we don't give it to the Kohen. So nowadays, we take off a nominal amount, and we burn it. But anyway, the Mishnah over here discusses the Hafrashas Chala Kemach. Now, it is flour, meaning it even has not yet been introduced into water. Now, Eino Chala. So the Mishnah Chala says it's too early. And I'm going to add one additional word. It's way too early. It's not yet chayv in the mitzvah of challah. And you can't take off challah. Now, you could separate a little bit of flour. You could call it challah, but it's not. It's simply not challah. V'gezel b'yad kohen. And on top of that, furthermore, is that when the kohen takes it, it's not his. Meaning, you gave it to the kohen as challah. It's not challah. So therefore, the kohen is taking something that simply does not belong to him. So the Gemara says, I don't understand Gezel B'Yad Kohen. So the Gemara says, now, Shmuel, you made this argument just a moment ago. Everybody knows that your sister, you can't be Mekash your sister when you're giving her the money. It's a Matana. Say the same thing over here. It's flour. Everybody knows that when it's flour, and it's only flour, it's too early for challah. So maybe the Kohen, you're just going to hand it to the Kohen, and you're going to say, hey, you know what? Here's challah. But, wink, wink, it's not really challah, it's a gift. So Shmuel, why don't you argue that? Why doesn't the Mishnah and challah present that? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Danafi Korbamina. So the Gemara says, Shmuel will answer the following. He will say, look, that Mishnah and Challah, leave that out of this entire discussion, and I'll tell you why. Something bad's going to happen. What's going to happen that's bad? Zimnin Disla L'Kohen Pachos Mechamish Revayim Kemach. Because sometimes the Kohen himself is going to have four Lugim of Kemach. Sorry? Five Lugim of Kemach. Rashi over here spends a considerable amount of time. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but if you want to see it later, in terms of how much flour you need in order for there to be a mitzvah challah. The Torah says, "Reishis Mary Soseichem." So a portion of your dough, and we basically take an ephah. We take a tenth of the ephah. I'll say it out. I'm not really explaining it well. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes through all the numbers. It's a tenth of an ephah. An ephah is. An ephah is 72 lugim. So you take a tenth of an ephah. That's how much the mun was. A tenth of an ephah. Asir sa ephah he. And then what you have to do is make a adjustment two times over. Because two times historically were the measurements increased. So therefore you needed less of the increased measurement. Every time there was an adjustment, you basically knock it down another 20%. So it's 120% knocked off, plus another 20% that's knocked off. And ultimately, and again, now I'm just fast-forwarding to the end of the Rashi and to where we are in the Gemara. So in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Chalin, you need five lugin. That's how much you need. How much does that turn to in modern proportions? Obviously, that's open to a debate how much you need. But from the Gemara standpoint, five lugin of flour is how much flour you need in order for there to be a mitzvah of Chalin. Okay.
So 2% of that is substantial, or
no? 2% of that is, well, yeah, let's say it's something. It's something. So the Pachos Mechamish Revayim Kemach. Now, what's going to happen is the following. The Kohen is going to have on his own person five lugin of flour, but maybe just a little bit less. And Vahai Alush Lebaha De Adade. So what he's going to do is the following. Oh, he just got a gift of quote-unquote challah. Meaning somebody came over to him and somebody said, hi, here's challah. Okay, fine, challah. Now, v'kasav nitkana isasav v'asala mechla b'tivla. So now he's going to make the following argument to himself. And that's the following. Look, I just got flour from my friend. My friend took off challah and he just gave it to me. And you know what? He called it, now it's flour, and it's not really challah. And we all know it's not really challah. But you know what? He called it challah, so you know what? For my purposes, I like to call it challah as well. And then he adds that flour to his flour, making the total five lugin of flour. Now, once you hit five lugin of flour, now you're chayv in the mitzvah of hafrashos challah. But this coin's going to say to himself, it's five lugin of flour, but it's really not. because of the five lugin, in order to get to the five lugin, I added something which was already mesukan. So in other words, that can't add to the total, and that's not going to require me to take off challah off the five lugin. Now, so the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Didn't we just make the argument a moment ago that everybody knows? Everybody knows that flour cannot be converted into challah. It's only when the flour and the dough, when the flour and the water are introduced to one another, only when you have a dough, then and only then is it chayv in the mitzvah of challah. So the Gemara over here is bothered by a really simple question. Well, you just said everybody knew. So why would the Kohen ever think to himself, It's you know what? Let's call it challah. It's not going to add to my flour total. I'm not going to have to take off hafrashas challah off of this. The Gemara says, but you said everybody knew. Yodeh ve'eino yodeh. The Gemara says people know, but there's knowing and then there's knowing. So the Gemara says, look, yodeh she mafrish challah kemach. We all know that at the point of flour, it's way too early to take off challah. So the when it's just flour, ve'eino yodeh desever tamayu. My. But what people don't know is why. Why should that be? So, Mishum Tircha de Kohen. So, the Kohen will think to himself, I know the reason why. You know why? Because the Torah doesn't want to create a Tircha for me. Meaning, if you think about it, it's a misconception, but it's a fair misconception. Meaning, why is it that we only are chayv in the mitzvah of challah only after we make the dough? The answer could be, although it's not, the answer could be, well, you don't want to make the Kohen work that much. In other words, kneading the dough is work. So maybe the reason why the Torah wants me to give the challah to the Kohen only after I've made a dough, only after I kneaded the dough, is so to save the Kohen some work. Maybe that could be why. It's a good misconception. And that's what the Kohen's thinking. V'tircha de Kohen achalta. So the and to which now this Kohen is saying to himself, but you know what? Here, I don't mind the work. Meaning, because it saves me. Because if I treat this flour like challah, so then it's not going to combine with my other flour, and I won't be chayv in the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, myself. And so, you know what? I in this particular case, I don't mind doing the extra labor. And since this Kohen is now thinking erroneously, I don't mind doing the extra labor, therefore this flour is going to be challah, so therefore that's why something bad is going to come out of here, because he'll know that you don't give challah off of flour, but he doesn't know why. He will conjure up this reason, and it's just simply wrong. So the Gemara says, fine, but you know what? Why don't we do the following? Let's go ahead. Let's call it challah, even though it's flour. Let's call it challah, and let's tell the Kohen, Mr. Kohen, you cannot take you. In other words, you want to call it challah, fine. Let's call it challah, but you can't eat it until you're mafrish challah again. And the Gemara says that's not unprecedented. I'll show you where we have this. Milo Tanan, we have a Mishnah in a Nukav al Sheino Nukav. Let's say I'm mafrish from produce that grew in a pot that holes in it, meaning that it had communication with the earth below. Therefore, it's chayiv and trumas and maizos min haTorah al she'eino nakav on a pot that was not perforated, and therefore grew in a pot that was not connected to the ground, and there was no communication, and therefore that which grows in there is min haTorah, not chayiv in trumas and maizos. So truma v'lo te'acha ad she'yatzei alav truma. So basically, what you were doing is you were being mafrish min hachiyuv ala patur, from something which was obligated onto something which was exempt. So what's the halacha? The halacha is we'll call it truma, but lo te'acha ad she'yatzei alav truma maizos min makom acher. But we say to the kohen, but here's what you can't do. Don't eat it until you take off truma once again, because the first taking off of truma wasn't good. So what do we find over here? A precedent where you find that we tell the Kohen, even though quote-unquote truma was taken off, but it's not really truma, and I'll tell you what, Mr. Kohen, you cannot eat it until you take off truma again. So we have that. So over here, why don't we say the same thing? You want to call it challah? That's great. But you can't eat it until you can take off challah again. So the Gemara says, "Betray mani tzais bechad mani lotzais." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but you know what? Though we have to know our kohanim. Sometimes the kohen will listen to us, and sometimes the kohen won't listen to us. If it's You have to know. So if it's two different, pots, meaning, in the case that's mentioned that we just learned together, from that Mishnah in Demai, where I was being mafresh from produce that grew in one pot that was perforated to another pot that was not perforated. The Kohen's going to look and the Kohen's going to see, oh, you know what? He's right. Meaning those are two different pots that they grew in. One was perforated, one was not. I get it. So you want me to take off shuma again? Fine. Over here, however, it's mana achas, chan mana. Everything's in one collective bowl. And now the Kohen's saying to himself, come on. It was all together in one bowl. I have to take off challah again. I don't understand why that should be. So the Gemara says, so sometimes we'll tell the Kohen to take shuma off again and he'll listen. Sometimes he won't. And the Gemara says, and there are differences in terms of why that should be.
The Kohanim take the shuma and the challah take it to themselves.
They're gonna have to take it off again for themselves.
So then it's given to them.
And either. In other words, who the recipient is going to be, could be they're going to give it to somebody else, could be they can keep it for themselves, but they have to be mafresh. Yeah. Or the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe the Kohen himself is going to listen. The Gemara says, now basically we're going to do everything we just said again, but here in our second round, we're basically not going to be worried so much about the Kohen. Meaning, maybe in this Ibaisim, in the second answer of the Gemara, the Kohen will do whatever we tell him to do. And we're not going to make this distinction, sometimes he'll listen, sometimes he won't listen. No, he's a Kohen. He'll listen. You know what we're worried about? It's the Baal HaBayis. Baal HaBayis is not always going to listen. And therefore, what just happened? It's flour. It's only flour. He didn't mix it together with water. And then he gave it to the Kohen and he said, here, Kohen, here's challah. Now, from the Kohen standpoint, Kohen will do whatever we tell him to do. But the Baal HaBayis now is saying to himself, my flour has been corrected. I took off challah off my flour. Now leave me alone. I'm good. The rest of my flour now is chulin. It's nitkan. It's totally fixed. And now leave me alone. So once again, the Gemara is going to argue what we argued earlier. But again, all this now from the perspective of the Baal HaBayis. And the Gemara says, wait one second, I don't understand. Didn't you just argue that everybody knows that at the point of flour, it's too early, it's way too early to take off challah? Yodeh, the Gemara says, yeah, people know, but they don't know. Yodeh she'em afishin challah kemach ve'in yodeh d'stavr time am I. Once again, there's knowing and then there's knowing. So again, an erroneous, a misconception in terms of why it is that I can't take off challah when it's only flour. So my mishum tichur de kohen, tichur de kohen, mekablei aleya. So the Gemara says, again, the Baal HaBayis is going to say to himself, I think that the reason why you can't take off challah when it's just flour is because of tichur de kohen. But meanwhile, when I hand it over to the kohen, he's like, yeah, I'll take it. And so obviously he feels that it's okay. He's going to be mochel his tircha, and I'll be and now what I gave is in fact truly challah, and the rest of my flour is nitkan. So the Gemara says v'tavi chuma v'yachzav v'yitrom ilotanan. So the Gemara says now I'm going to show you another Mishnah. Mishnah Trumos. I'm going to show you another Mishnah where we're going to see the Baal HaBayis being instructed to do it again, and the Mishnah tells us, and the Baal HaBayis will do it again. And essentially, the Gemara now is going to ask the same question. Once we learn that Mishnah together, so why don't we say the same thing over here? Let the Baal HaBayis take off challah while it's still flour, and let him do it again once it becomes a dough. Milo Tzanan. Excuse me. We learned in the Mishnah. Misha Einu Nakov Ala Nakov. Here we're taking off Truma from a not holy pot. I mean that super literally, right? The pot just simply is not perforated, and therefore it is potter al hanakov over produce that grew in a pot that had holes. Meaning al haptur min haptur al achiyav. So truma v'yachzav v'yitrum. So once again, it's truma, and you got to take off truma again. And this is instructions to the Baal HaBayis, where we'll call the first hafrasha truma, and the second hafrasha he's got to do again. And the Mishnah's assuming, and he'll listen. So the Gemara says, "Hakimna b'chei man etzayis b'chad man alotzayis." So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? Again, we're going to make that same distinction we made with the Kohen. If it's two different pots, one was perforated, one was not perforated, so the Baal HaBayis will look and he'll say, yeah, you know what? I understand. I get it. Okay, fine. You want me to take off truma again? Fine, I'll do it. But if it's challah, if it's flour, all from the same bowl, I don't understand. I took off flour from this bowl, and you're telling me I got to do it again? off the same bowl? No way. So again, the Gemara is arguing that sometimes listen, sometimes they will not listen. The Gemara says, okay, but let's learn another Mishnah together where we're going to see that even if it's the same, the Baal HaBayis is expected to listen. Let's say you take off your cucumbers, meaning you have a pile of cucumbers, and you take off Trumas and Maisis from the cucumbers, and it turns out that that which you took off was bitter. And you didn't take off the good cucumbers for the Kohen. Avatich v'nimsei saruach. Or let's say a group of watermelons, and you took off trumas and maisos from the watermelons to give to the Kohen, and it was just what you gave the Kohen was just really inferior quality. Truma v'yachzer v'yitrum. So what you took off is truma, and you got to do it again. And over here, it's not two different kalim; it's all from the same batch. And we're instructing the Baal HaBayis to take off Truma and take off Truma again. And we're expecting the Baal HaBayis to listen. So the Gemara is really bothered. So by the case of the challah, when he took off challah from the flour, so why don't we give the instruction to the Baal HaBayis to take off challah and do it again later? And just like over here, we expect him to listen. In the case of challah, we expect him to listen. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasan. The Gemara says, yeah, but let's leave that case out of the discussion. Because Hasan, demedaraisa truma malya, he made the rabbi a lie. Because in the case of the bad cucumber and the bad watermelon, according to the strict letter of the law, what he did was, he got a passing grade. Okay, in other words, he didn't get an A, but he did get a passing grade. If I take off the bad produce off of the rest of the pile. So in other words, there are a couple of bad cucumbers, a couple of bad watermelon. And he's like, you know what? Give that to the Kohen. Okay. Right, high regard that this farmer had for the Kohen. Give that to the Kohen. So what we're about to learn is it works. He's going to get a passing grade. The Torah says you have to take off the chalev. Chalev literally means the fat. But in this context, it does not mean the fat of the animal. It means the best. When you take off produce for the Kohen, you should be taking off the best. And the Torah says, and don't losisu alav chet. Don't bear a sin. Meaning, don't try to cheat on this rule. You should be giving the Kohen the best, and if you don't, so then you are going to be subject to what the Torah describes as a chet. Now, imenu kadosh nisias chet lama. Now, if it's totally ineffective, so then you don't have a chet because you didn't take off truma. By virtue of the fact that the Torah is calling it a chet, it must mean that what you did was successful, but the Torah is going to give you a really poor grade on that which you did. That's nesias chet. So the Gemara says that it's a proof, mikan, latar mineral, yafesh, truma, so truma. So that means that that truma, that which you took off, is in fact truma. So basically, now let us quickly summarize the Gemara's discussion. Shmuel said, it's a good sugya, it's a little bit complicated. Shmuel said that when you give money to your sister under the guise of kiddushin, so really it's a gift. Why? So Shmuel says, because we all know. We all know that you can't be mekash your sister, and consequently, all you're trying to do is just give her a gift. You understand that, she understands that, and it'll just simply be, it'll allow the gift to transfer without her being too embarrassed. Okay. That is Shmuel's opinion. And what the rest of the daf was bothered by is how to understand that in the context of the Mishnah in Challah. The Mishnah in Challah says that when you hand flour over to a Kohen, and it's way too early for the mitzvah of Challah, so it's Gezel, and the Kohen's got to give it back to you. So according to Shmuel, why don't we construe it as a gift? So the Gemara says it really should be the same thing, because everybody knows that you don't give off challah from just flour. And essentially, and this is where now we're just going to summarize the rest of the Gemara, essentially what the Gemara is going to say is if the Kohen were able to keep it, so bad things would come out of it. Because he would rationalize and say to himself, even though we all know it's not challah, but you know what? I'm going to count it as challah, and it helps me, and bad things will happen from there. Okay, both from the perspective of the Kohen, and also from the Baal HaBayis who gave him the challah as well. Adkan. Amar Rava. We are now continuing on the very bottom of Menvav and Medbeis, and the Gemara now continues. Loshanu ala da'amar la bezu, uvezu, uvezu. Ava amar la be'elu, afilo ochelas nam in mekudeshes. So Rav is now going to tweak our Mishnah, not tweak it, but make distinctions in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said that every date that was given to her, if she eats it, so that can't count. And then she eats it, that can't count. But Rava says, but what if you say to her, as you're handing her each date, not as, but right before you hand her each one of the dates, I want to be Mekadesh you Be'elu. Meaning, here's a whole bunch of dates. I want to be Mekadesh you with these dates. And then you start handing it to her. And with everyone that you hand to her, she eats it. Rav is of the opinion that under these circumstances, the kedushin is going to be valid. And why? For a very simple reason. Ki ka'achla, mi denafsha ka'achla. Because once he presents these dates, they now all are hers. And it's now just a question of giving them over to her. The giving process could take as long as it wants. And furthermore, she can even eat in the middle of the giving process. But all those dates now are recognized as being hers. And under those circumstances, it is a valid kedushin. Our Mishnah is only talking about a case where with each date he hands to her, he says, Bizu. Uvazu, uvazu. Tanya Kavasi de Rava, the Gemara now is going to quote a Brisa, and this Brisa is going to be supportive of Rava. His kachuli, but alon berimon uva egos. I want to be mikadashu with a whole bunch of fruit. Alon is some sort of nut. Okay. What does he call it?
An acorn.
An acorn. Okay. So, I want to be mikadashu with a acorn, a pomegranate, and an egos, right? Some other form of nut. So, sha'amar la'iskashli be'elu. Or he says to her, I want to be mekadesh with these. Im yesh b'kulon shava pruta mekadesh v'im lavin mekadeshes. So if the total value of all of them collectively is a shava pruta, the kedushin is fine. Otherwise, the kedushin is not fine. The brisa continues. Bizu, uvizu, uvizu. So if all of them have a, if all of them, the aggregate total of all of them is a shavapruta, the kedushin is valid. Bizu, not loss of achlaso. Bizu, not loss of achlaso. Va'od, bizu. Va'od, bizu. Ain a mekadesh, it's actually ba'achas mem shavapruta. If he says bizu, and then she eats it. I don't know how she's eating an acorn. So if he hands each one of the to her, and he says bazoo, and then she eats it, so the kedushin is not going to be valid until one of them, we'll discuss which one in just a moment, but until one of them is a shavapruta. Otherwise, the kedushin is not going to be good, because here, because she ate it, you cannot take the aggregate total. Now, hi balon berimon begoz hechidami. After having been presented the brisa, look, the reason why we want this brisa is because it's going to be supportive of Rava, and the Gemara is going to demonstrate, the Gemara is going to make its case. This case of alon rimon egoz, exactly what is going on over here. Ile medamala, oba alon, obi rimon, oba egoz. So if he's saying the word oh, so im yesh bekulon shavar putta mekadeshes vaha o ka'amar, it can't be. Because if he said if he inserted the word oh, so then that means or. That conjunction separates each one of these nuts. And so therefore, he cannot take the sum total. So ve'ela be'alon uverimon uvegoz. So the correct conjunction is the vav. The word, the English word and, not or. So I want to be mekadesh you with this and this and this. So hayna bazu vazu vazu. So the Gemara says, well, that's fine, but then how did you understand the next case in the Mishnah? Or I should say the brisa. The next case of the brisa is where he says, bazu, uvazu, uvazu. So now all the brisa is doing is repeating itself, and we know that brisas don't simply do that. Elalav de amrala be'elu. So it must be that when he introduced the fruit to begin with, he introduced it with the words be'elu. Ha midiksani osefa osha amrales kachuli be'elu mechlal deresha lav be'elu askinan. So the Gemara says, but again, I'm going to contest that. Because later in the Brisa does use the word elu. So once again, you're explaining the resha as the word elu. And then later, the Brisa says the word elu. So I contest that as well. So the Gemara says, no. Perushika mefarish. The Gemara says the Brisa is meant to clarify its own statement. And this we do find, that the Brisa will make a statement that's somewhat ambiguous and then offer a clarification. Perushika mefarish. Iskashli balon v'rimonova goes. Ketzad. So first, that's the first line of the Brisa. The various types of fruit, an acorn, a pomegranate, and a nut. And then, specifically what's going on over here, where he says, I want to be mekadesh with these. Now, the Ketani Seifa. So now all we did was we set up the beginning of the Braisa, where he used the word Elu, which is what Rava was arguing just a moment ago. And then he hands it to her. Now, contrast that with what was taught at the end of the Braisa. Now, in the last part of the Braisa, she's eating each one as it's being handed over to her. And the Braisa says, I cannot take the sum total of all of them. That's the last part of the Braisa. Now, in the Reisha of the Braisa, there is no distinction whether or not they were eaten or whether they were just placed in front of her. Shma mina. So, put all that together. I understand that was a lot of detective work. But you put all that together, where the first half of the Braisa is Purusha Kamafarish, and you're contrasting that now to the last half of the Braisa. And once you put all that together, here's what you end up with. Rava's point. Once you say the word be'elu, before handing any one of the nuts, so the word elu basically says all this is yours, and now it's just a question of handing it over to you. And even if she eats each one as it's being handed over to her, but that's fine because they are effectively already hers. And that's why the Kedushin is going to be valid, even if each one individually is not a Shavah Pruta, but as long as the total is a Shavah Pruta, you are good. Shema Mina. So the Gemara says, we are now good. We now have excellent pshat in this Braisa. Now, we go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf, what I reviewed at the beginning of this morning. Meaning, let's look back at our Mishnah that we learned yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday talked about the case where she eats each one as it's handed over to her. And as we discussed in the beginning of this morning's shiur, there's a machlokus amarayim exactly how to understand that last line of the Mishnah. Is it going on the Reisha or is it going on the Seifa? Rav and Shmuel says it's going on the Reisha. And Rabbi Ami says it's going on the Seifa. Hanich laman damar Seifa kai. So, the way we just learned our brace over here for Rabbi Ami is perfect. Why? Because umay achi ebachas meim shavah pruta. Because what was the last line of the Braisa? Not the Mishnah. Although it was the last line of the Mishnah. But what was the last line of the Braisa? It's not going to be a valid Kedushin until ad chi ebachas meim shavah pruta. Until one of them is a shavah pruta. Ad chi ebachron a shavah pruta. And we know what that means because it's what Rabbi Ami said back in yesterday's Mishnah. The last one has to be a shavah pruta. Remember, it has to be the last one. Because anyone before that is a milva, and you know you can't be mekash with a milva. So achinami achieba achrona shava pruta. So it must be that the achrona had that last one had a shava pruta. But el ravishmol dami tavaya reshakai vochele sirichle hacha. I'm sorry. So, but according to Ravishmol, who said that last case in the Mishnah is going on the resha, on the case where each one was less than a shava pruta. And again, what then is the chiddush where she eats each one? Because there was a benefit that she received in addition to the value of the date. So maybe you could take the benefit, put it together with the date, and arrive at something greater than a shava pruta. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. So, it's the rechle. So that is Rav and Shmuel's understanding of yesterday's Mishnah. Now, the Gemara wonders, according to Rav and Shmuel, well, what are they going to be doing with the Braisa? Meaning, that pshat works well in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah you had a Reisha and a Seifa. But in the Braisa, you don't have a Reisha and a Seifa like you had in the Mishnah. So according to Rav and Shmuel, how do they understand the last line of the Braisa? So hacha klalei kachashiv, prate lo kachashiv. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rav Shmuel, so what is meant to be taught to us in this Braisa is that it is viewed as a klal, not as a prat. To the Gemara it says, Hamani Rabbi Damar lo shna kezayis kezayis, v'lo shna kezayis u'chezayis prate havai. This takes us to a point which is discussed in Zvachim. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. It's the second parak of Zvachim, says Rashi, where, and it's a piggle issue, and for me to explain it now will take up the rest of this morning. Forgive me, please. I'm not going to go through the whole sugya in Zvachim right now. For our purposes, the only thing we need to understand, just to understand the simple pshat in the Gemara, is that Rebbe's opinion is whether you say Kezayis kezias. Whether you say kezias u kezias, it still is not considered a sum total. It's still considered individual kezasim. Now, it affects the halachas of pigul, which I'm not explaining right now. Please forgive me. But it also, that's what's being taught in our braisa. It does not matter whether you say kezias kezias or whether you say kezias u kezias. You still do not take the aggregate total. Okay. Amarav. We return now back to a discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta, but this is really the main location of the discussion, and the Gemara earlier in the first parak discussed it only peripherally. If I go over to a woman who owes me money, and I say to her, I want to make mekashi with the money that I already gave you. In other words, I lent you the money. And you know what I'll do? I'll forgive you the loan. Okay, good. And let's be Mekadosh. Let me be Mekadosh you with that forgiven loan. Worked. So we learned earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara now is repeating again, this is the halacha of Rav. It's not going to work. Why? Milva lahotza nina. Because when I lend somebody money, the expectation is they're going to spend the money. And so therefore, what am I being Mekadosh with her currently right now? Nothing. Meaning nothing that exists in the world. She has an obligation to pay me back the money, but currently right now the understanding is that she doesn't have the money. So I'm being mekadesh with her right now currently, nothing. Nothing tangible, nothing real. And that's not a kedushin. So Neima Ketanai, the Gemara now is going to present this statement of Rav. Rav says it unequivocally. No dispute. But the Gemara now is going to point out that maybe this is a machlokas tanayim. And here the Gemara introduces us. So I have now a braisa. And the braisa presents two opinions. So my So the Gemara says, and maybe over here the machlokas is whether or not milva is lohotza nitna or milva is lav lohotza nitna. Now, if we could just for a moment think about this. What the Gemara is proposing is that one opinion is that when I lend you money, yeah, go ahead, spend it, because that's why I'm lending it to you. Which is how we all generally view a loan. And there's another opinion that says, no, milva lav lo hotza nitna. When I lend you money, here's my expectation. You hold that money. And don't go anywhere with that money. And then when the loan is due, you'll just give me back that money. We don't call that a loan. You know what we call that? That's a pikadon. Meaning, even though the Gemara does say the words milva lav lahotza nitna, here's most probably what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is that as long as the borrower has the actual money, so then it could still be viewed as the lender's. What the borrower, of course, has every right to spend that money. That's why he or she is borrowing the money. But as long as the money's still there, it can be viewed as the owner's money. The Gemara now is proposing this is the machlokas between the Tanakama and the Yeshomim of the Braisa. V'tizbor, the Gemara says, come on. Eima seifa v'shavim memecha shezeh kana. So, the Gemara notes that when it comes to Mechira, it works. Let's say I lent you a lot of money and you default. And you say, you know what? How about this? You'll sell me a piece of your property. And you know what? And you know what the purchase price of that piece of property will be? It'll be the defaulted loan. The money that I already gave you will serve as the kesef for that piece of property. And the braisa tells us vishavim, meaning the Tanakama and the Yeshomim are both in agreement that such a mechira works. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about it. Now if milva is lahotza'a, which means that we expect the money's not there anymore. So now, how exactly did I purchase the property? So, the Gemara says, so the way we explain the machlokas can't work over here. So I'm Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, you know what? This braisa, the way it's presented, we're going to now have to offer a new pshat in this braisa. So the Gemara says that the man says to the woman, I want to be mekashi with a mana, a substantial amount of money. And then he gives her almost the amount that he told her he was going to give her, but chaser dinar. It was just missing one dinar. Now, Now, because she didn't receive that last dinar of that total mana, so now, is she going to ask for it, yes or no? That's the machlokis between the Tanakam and the Yesh Omrim. The Tanakam is of the opinion that she's too embarrassed to ask for it. And so therefore, that's going to be viewed as a loan, and therefore the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin, and according to the Yesh Omrim, she will not be embarrassed to ask for it. V'alahadam, Rabbi Lazi's kashli b'manam v'nasal and dinar ha'rezim v'kudeshes v'yashlam lema ketanai amel shmaita. So the Gemara says, yeah, but consider what we also learned earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara is repeating once again now. And that is the same with Rabbi Lazar, where I go over to a woman, I say, I'm going to be mekashi with a mana. Again, that's a substantial amount of money. And I hand her only but one dinar. Rabbi Lazar says, the Kedushin is valid, and you need to pay the rest. Now, Amri, so now the Gemara says, you want to tell me that that statement to Rabbi Lazar is subject to the machlokas that we just learned? So the Gemara says, let's make a very simple distinction. Amri, mani chaser dinar ksifa la milsa la mitbe. Mani chaser tishim v'tisha lo ksifa la milsa la mitbe. Gemara says, look, if he told you he's going to be mekashi with a mana, 100 dinarim, and he gave you 99, you know what you look like when you ask for that last dinar? You look cheap, you look petty. In other words, there, I can understand it's embarrassing to ask for that last dinar. However, if he told you that he's going to marry you with a mana, 100 dinarim, and he gave you only one, it's more than reasonable for you to look at him and say, okay, that's one. I'm waiting. There's 99 more coming. So there, it's reasonable. People will not be embarrassed to ask for that. Made for the Gemara challenge. Amar Lishay is kashli bepikadon. Sheishli biadech. V'halchom masa shenignav oshavad im nishtari hemen shavapruta mekudeshes yom lavin mekudeshes. Uvemil v'afa pishlo nishtari hemen shavapruta mekudeshes. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir milve harehu kipikadon. Okay, so in this brisa, we start off with the case of pikadon, where I entrusted a woman with an item of mine, an actual physical item of mine. And I say I want to make mekadesh with that pikadon. So all is good right now because it's a pikadon. It's not money. It's not the fluidity of money where money is meant to be spent. It's an actual item. And now we go back home and the kedushin should be good, but now it turns out that it was lost or stolen. So the brisa says, if a shavapruta of the item is still left, so the kedushin is good, and otherwise the kedushin is not good. However, when it comes to a milva, even if there was nothing left, so the the loan, the kedushin is going to be a valid kedushin, to which Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, in the name of Reb Meir, no, a milva is considered like a pikadon in this regard. Now, Adkan, after having learned the brisa, the Gemara now is going to note, I'm confused. We're on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Ad kan lo pligi ela demar sever milva alfa gav dolin shtar himen eshev pruta umar sever nishtar himen eshev pruta in v'ilo nishtar himen eshev pruta lo ava dekule ama mekadesh b'milva mekudeshes. I don't understand. Both opinions over here are in agreement with the principle that you can be mekadesh with a milva, and it's the only thing that we're debating right now is whether or not to treat the milva exactly like a pikadon, or even more leniently than a pikadon. But the starting point of this debate is an agreement that you can be mekadesh with a milva. Amar Rava v'tizbra hametaratzahi hameshabeshtahi. So Rava says, this brisa that you just quoted to me, it's not a good brisa. It's mishabeshta. It's a corrupted brisa. And I'll tell you why it's corrupted. Rava says, I know it's a corrupt brisa, because hai pikadon hechidami. The Gemara says, this pikadon that we're talking about, idikabalech rayos, when you are entrusted with an item to watch, did you accept personal responsibility? Is there recourse on the item that you're watching? Hainu milva. If there is, so essentially now, that's no different than a loan. Meaning, a woman was entrusted with an item to watch, and she accepted achrayus, personal liability, if anything happens to the item. So now the item is stolen. So you know what that now is? It's a loan. In other words, she's indebted to pay back for the item. She took personal liability. So either lo kabel al achrayus, ihachi ad detani seifa uve milva. Now let's say she didn't take personal liability. If she didn't take personal liability, so then she's not on the hook if it was lost or stolen. But the Gemara says, but here now, here's where I'm going to show you that the Bryce is corrupt. Because the Bryce is trying to make a distinction between when the Kedushin's good and when the Kedushin's not good. And we've seen this time and again throughout Shas. Where? If the Braisa has an opportunity to make a fine distinction, there's no point in the Braisa moving to another topic. Let the Braisa make a crisper distinction right in a Pikadon. So why didn't the Braisa say that we're talking about a Pikadon and a simple distinction of whether or not she did or did not accept achrayas? The Braisa not only could have done that, should have done that, by virtue of the fact that the Braisa didn't do that, that's pretty reflective of the fact that the Braisa is simply not, it's not good. It's not a, it has not been edited well. So Elotritzachis, so the Gemara says, fine. So Uvamilva, Fapish, Nishari Menashavapruta, Eino Mikudeshas. So now, because we've shown that the Braisa has not been edited well, now it allows us to edit the Braisa and make a very serious correction in the Braisa. When it comes to a milva, and I'm going to be Mekadosh a woman with a milva, even if there is money still left of the loan on hand in the woman, Eino Mikudeshas. The Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin, meaning now we're editing the Braisa, and it's now the Braisa is in agreement with Rav. And now Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Milva, Harei Kipikadon. And now what Rabbi Meir is telling us is that a Milva is going to be treated like a Pikadon. And why should the Milva be treated like a Pikadon? So stay tuned. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with why exactly the Milva should be treated like a Pikadon according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, our discussion today revolved around Shmuel's statement that if a brother hands his sister kesef kiddushin, it's really a matana, and he's just trying to soften the gift a little bit by calling it kesef kiddushin. Compare that to the Mishnayos and Chala, which we learned, and the Gemara says they're different for reasons explained earlier this morning. And then the Gemara spent some time with Rava's halacha, which is that if I say Elu before handing all the items to her, Elu means that they're basically now going to be all collected together. They're all hers. And even if she eats each one as I'm handing it to her, the Kedushin is going to be good as long as the total is a Shavapruta. And then we return back today towards the bottom of Mezayin Amud Aleph to the halacha of Rav, which is that if you're Mekadosh with a Milva, it's not a good Kedushin because a loan is viewed as already spent the moment it gets into her hands, and therefore you're being Mekadosh with nothing. And what the Gemara discussed is whether or not this statement of Rav is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. And basically the Gemara is defending Rav's position that it is not subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. We still have a little bit more to do on this topic of Mekadosh b'Milva, which we'll continue tomorrow.